My name is Peter Parker. I'm pretty sure you know the rest. I saved the city, fell in love, then I saved the city again and again and again. Look, I'm a comic book, a serial, I did a Christmas album, and a so-so popsicle. But this isn't about me. Not anymore.
Spider-Man swings in once a day, zip-zaps up in his little mask and answers to no one. I love you, Miles.
Yeah, I know that.
You gotta say I love you back.
Dad, are you serious?
I wanna hear it.
Look at this place.
Dad, I love you.
Dad, I love you.
That's a copy.
My name is Miles Morales. I'm the one and only Spider-Man. At least that's what I thought.
You ever hear of the Super Collider? You're gonna love this.
Dimension opening now.
You're like me.
That's impossible.
All right, kid, listen up.
This fry is your universe. It's soggy, it's weird, it's gross. And this delicious normal fry is my universe.
So you want to learn to be Spider-Man.
Can you teach me?
Yes, I can. Time to swing.
Ah,
good, you're doing it. Double tap to release and whip it out again.
Okay.
Whip.
And release.
You're a natural. Whip.
Hey, guys.
Who are you?
I'm Gwen Stacy. I'm from another dimension.
How many more spider people are there?
Teen Miles Morales becomes Spider-Man of his reality, crossing his path with five counterparts from other dimensions to stop a threat for all realities. This is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and it is bonus time for the month of for the month of December. Anyway, this is an animated film made by Phil Lord and Chris Miller, the guys who did the 21 Jump Street reboot or remake, whatever it's called. They also did the Lego movie, I want to say. Yeah. So they've done some pretty funny, good movies that no one expects to ever succeed. I think they're kind of good at that. And it stars, obviously, voice casted. Shameik Moore as Miles, Jake Johnson as Peter B., Haley Steinfeld, Mahershala Ali, Brian Tyree Henry, Lily Tomlin is in this movie. I love Lily Tomlin. I just saw her in the West Wing, by the way. John Mulaney, Zoe Kravitz, Luna Lauren Velez, and I'm looking for, there it is, let's see, Kimiko Glenn and Nicolas Cage. I want to definitely name all the counterparts for sure. All right, so this is Spider-Man to the Spider-Verse. It's been getting some nice, positive buzz since it hit theaters. And obviously, it was hitting pretty good buzz before. It actually hit theaters by other critics who saw it before, or the fest and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Did you have high hopes for this movie, Rob?
I had hopes for the movie.
Just hopes in general?
I don't know if they were high.
Oh, you didn't give them any pot to smoke?
Yeah.
So the hopes were just mellow?
Sure.
Okay. I had pretty high hopes. Because I was hearing everybody saying so. So I guess I had higher expectations, but
I was really worried the artistic style of this movie was going to affect it.
Uh-huh.
Not that it's animated, but I guess it's just how it's animated.
Okay.
I really thought that was going to affect the movie from what I saw in trailers. And
you think it'll affect it? You mean negatively? Right?
Yeah, negatively. Yeah. Because it's just not your usual style,
right,
of what you're used to seeing. That's the only reason. Other than that, I mean, I'm down for whatever. But I guess I'll go with first impressions, which was I thought it was a really fucking well-made movie. I thought it was just really good. It knocked it out of the park. It didn't hold us. It didn't treat us, the audience, dumb, which is smart because we know, I think, so much about Spider-Man at this point that we don't need to be our handheld. But at the same time, they still did a good job of giving us an introductory story for Spider-Man, even though we've had it like four times already.
And in a way, we get it like five more times.
And it's kind of like, it's a parody, right?
Yeah.
Of how we get all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
What's it called? It's a parody of it, but I think for Miles Morales' character, the fact that we're getting this, his origin stories as we're seeing it, it's really cool because it feels different because it is different, and I think the fact that we're going through the journey with him, unlike we know what happens to Spider-Man. I think there's a big difference from what we've seen in the other original from Sam Raimi's to the reboot.
Comic books,
to the comic books, of course, right? To the reboot. I'm talking about is the cinematic universe, just movie-wise. To the reboot, to where we are now with, you know, Spider-Man with Iron Man and all that stuff in the actual Marvel universe. So seeing this way is actually really cool. I had loads of fun with this. I thought the soundtrack fit great for this movie. I want to see if the soundtrack holds up on its own. I don't think all of it will, but I think some of it will, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I do. I am already wanting to rewatch this movie because I feel like I want to. I saw it on the big screen. I want to watch it in my house. Maybe some of the stuff was a little out of my eyes hurt visually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind rewatching this movie at the house. See what's it called, and just see how I feel about it again whenever it does come out for VOD or whatever.
Yeah, right. For me, is that I did not expect. I didn't expect so many things that this movie somehow achieved, and. It might be, I mean, obviously it's the most recent superhero movie I've seen. And so obviously it has a little biasness to this next sentence, but might be true. This might be my favorite superhero movie. I mean, I don't know how many, I mean, don't get me wrong. the Dark Knights and Watchmen, I'm a big fan of Watchmen. And I'm sure there's one or two others that I really enjoy. Like Spider-Man 2, for example, I really enjoy. And things like that are definitely in the conversation, you know, and a Winter Soldier as well. But into the Spider-Verse, it makes the definitive Spider-Man movie, and it makes it with a medium that could only be made properly through animated, and it combines styles. Actually, the style of the animated thing they do here is combining like graphic arts. To comic book Sanskrit looking, to traditional hand drawn, to digital,
right?
Makeup rendering, and all this stuff is combined into this seemingly chaotic, but kind of rhythmic flow throughout the movie, especially when the music's kicking in primarily in gear, like when it's action beats or something. It definitely flows with it really well. And if you watch the end credits. Sequence, it doesn't spell anything, it's just a bunch of Spider-Mans in different shapes doing stuff, and it's it kind of goes with lens into that lens of creativity of using this medium to the highest peaks, like using every kind of animated type out there. Not every, I'm sure there's a couple, I don't know if there's any stop motion, for example,
right.
But you know, a lot of them to achieve this reality bending story about Spider-Man's Spider-Man.
Yeah, what is it? I think there's two superheroes that are out there that we could watch and we don't have a problem rewatching. That's Batman and Spider-Man.
Yeah, and whose origin stories we're so tired of in many
ways.
Well,
you think so, but we keep seeing them and we praise them still.
Well, the thing is that we don't... I would disagree with the Batman one, I'm going to be honest with you, because the last two times I got origin stories from the Batman movies... I was super sick of them.
What two times were those?
It was the one that this guy introduced into the DCU ones.
Okay.
What's the Batman versus Superman? Was that the one? Probably that one. Where they show the slow motion and the pearls. I'm like, oh my God, if I see this fucking pearls one more time.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the time before that was, but I was already sick of it then too. And but the Lego Batman movie, thankfully, didn't show it. It just made fun of it.
It made fun of it, yeah.
Right, and that was great.
Yeah.
This one, instead of like ignoring it completely, it plays into it and keeps it self-aware, and it does it like super fast, and it's showing you a lot of other things while it's telling you the super fast version of like, well, this is how I started.
Yeah.
You know, so I like that, and this subverts it enough for me to say like, okay, but no more after this.
Well, I think... I think they're the two more relatable characters with the actual human person. I think Spider-Man has always been the best that a superhero can be with abilities, with powers, right?
Yeah.
And it's and it shows you this thing about like you're still being this human, very human person that you can't get from Captain America, who is just like you know, this is for country, this is for this is for that. You know, that's what Captain America
did. Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
But
yeah.
In comparison with Spider-Man, Spider-Man is literally the person who you want as, like, your neighborhood watch police guy, who you want as your guy who, you know, you have issues with, and you kind of want to just, like, hey, man, I don't know what to do here. And you'd ask him for, like, you know, like, almost like your wise man. You know, it feels kind of like that, right?
Okay,
like, you feel comfortable having him as your protector in your neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
And that feels really cool because you feel like you feel comfortable in your own area, which you should feel comfortable where you live, right? So having Spider-Man, but you're seeing the fact that he's also got his own struggles. He still has to struggle through life. He never, you know, especially at least the iterations of Spider-Man that we've seen, he's not high, ultra-rich guy, you know, like Batman is. But the difference between Batman is Batman's human, 100%. You know, and he's just, this is a guy.
Plus he was born rich.
He was born rich, yes. Yeah. And with that, though, he does decide to protect the whole city, right?
Right, right.
There is a big difference as well. He completely devotes himself 100%.
Well, it makes sense that also Logan, you think of Wolverine, you think they're the most human.
They're the most human. Superheroes
out of the Marvels,
right? And DC. That's why I think they fit so well with.
That's why people love
us, with people, yeah. And we're willing to rewatch.
People also love the Joker the most. He's has no powers either.
Yeah, there's a
he's just a guy who's insane.
Exactly.
And brilliant.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's why it's easy to. And we have Chewbacca, but you know, so I think it's really easy to fall in love with those characters. And we're willing to rewatch origin stories. Although we do have limits. We've seen that with Batman, right?
Yes.
I think we have seen it with Batman. And I love that Lego Batman 2 thing.
Murder Alley or Crime Alley.
Murder Crime Alley, yeah. But the fact that we got the thing with Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse, I really felt it was so refreshing.
Yes.
It felt great. And I didn't feel like, for a split second, I was like, fuck, here we go again, right? Like, for a split second. Then after that, I was like, oh, hey, check this out. And it was really cool. And I just like how we walked right through it. And then they make fun of itself later on in the movie, also with when you get the whole Spider-Verse of the, you know, which I thought was super cool also, because you get this whole quick little intro. But that made sense because you're introducing like six different characters. So
exactly. I think we should probably get into talking about this movie, spoilerness, but we both recommended. It's, I think, besides maybe the some third act, over-the-top color schemes, the movie is basically flawless to me.
Yeah, I really hope this gets nominated. Like,
I hope so, yeah. I don't see
why it wouldn't, to be brutally honest with you, but it feels very artsy. You know, just the style. Like I said, the style is so
artsy
different.
Artsy and blockbuster at the same time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right, exactly. So I don't,
should be perfect.
Who makes this? Who was? Is it Warner Brothers? Or is it Sony, right?
I think it's Sony. It's definitely not Marvel. Not like Marvel does the...
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Because Sony's... would be knocking it out.
Sony, it's definitely a Sony. It's like Sony is the weird third child that can do whatever it wants, and it has some properties of superheroes that they don't have a 10-20 year plan to make movies, so they don't have to make them all the same way. They just make the next one when the next one's ready, you know. Yeah. Like there's like the last remains of a dying industry studio thinking, you know, like it's not MCU and it's not DCU. It's just Sony, you know? So like, that's why you get Logan one day and then First Class. And then you get that awful other one, that Wolverine one. And you can get them all in one sitting, you know? So,
right.
It doesn't make sense, but yeah, there you go. And then you could get that pool, right? And stuff like that. Let's get into spoilers for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, starting right now.
You think you're the only people who thought to come here?
Hey, fellas.
Is he in black and white?
Where's that wind coming from? We're in a basement.
Wherever I go, the wind follows. And the wind, it smells like rain.
Hi, guys. Konnichiwa.
This could literally not get any weirder.
It can get weirder. I just washed my hands. That's why they're wet. No other reason.
yours.
You're like me. My name is Peter Parker.
My name is Penny Parker.
My name is Peter Parker.
I was bitten by a radioactive spider.
In my universe, it's 1933, and I'm a private eye. I like to drink egg creams, and I like to fight Nazis. A lot.
I'm from New York in the year 3145. I have a psychic link with a spider who lives inside my father's robot. And we're best friends. Forever.
Sometimes I let matches burn down to my fingertips just to feel something, anything.
Oh. I'm a photographer for the Daily Beagle. When I'm not pooching around, I'm working like a dog trying to sniff out the latest story. I frolic and I dance and I do this with my pants and my...
Okay, enough! So, how did you get here?
Well, it's kind of a long story. Maybe not that long.
Now, we're just trying to find a way home.
And it goes without saying, people, if you listen to sounds and, a toddler in the background, we're babysitting. So, okay, let's get into spoilers
for
this movie.
Just taking care of my kid, but yeah.
I mean, whatever. Same thing.
No, for you it's babysitting. For me it's just being a parent.
Well, yeah, I'm speaking for myself.
You're right.
I guess. But you're babysitting for the rest of your life.
You can look at it that
way. It's a gigantic babysitting. Sure. Uh-huh. Sure. Yes. With some breaks in between, right, when you go to work. That's the break. Yeah. All right.
I make money.
There's so many ways they could have made this movie, and obviously if you start really thinking about the stuff that happens with the parallel universes and stuff like that, it doesn't truly make sense. Just having a...
Well, it's very out there, actually.
What's it called? The thing he builds, the Fisk builds down there.
Yeah,
that's what it was. I had it in the tip of my brain. Just building a supercolor is not enough to open portals, but it gets the shortcuts to get there, and
it's
fine.
What's funny is that the plot is really out there.
Yeah.
I don't think we would find it super believable if it was live action.
Oh, no. No, I mean, probably not
this
anyway.
This works amazing for animated.
Yes.
And the fact that you can make it however you
and
want
to. And they get
to.
Creative to show you how they're shifting universes and how things are glitching. It's so
cool and
creative.
And that's the thing I was getting at, where it's that's the visual part that kind of hurts in the theater.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to rewatch it and see if I still get the same feeling on TV, on the TV that I did on the theater.
Yeah.
Not that it wasn't anything crazy. I liked it.
I didn't mind it, but yeah.
I didn't mind it either. I'm saying it was something, that's meant to obviously give you a reaction to.
Yeah.
And I think that plays on, especially throughout the end of the movie when we're just getting so much of it, and it definitely affects it. So I just want to see how it's going to translate to a TV, like your standard 4K TV.
Yeah. But I like how it's so. So one thing I apparently, if you've seen the trailers, you get spoiled into knowing that there are five other Spider-Mans.
Yeah,
but I didn't know about two of them or three of them actually.
Which two or which three?
So I didn't know about Peter Parker, the Tokyo girl. I forgot her name. Neo Spider-Man, and the Noir one.
Oh, okay.
Those are the three I didn't know about until I saw the movie, and I discovered them when Aunt May was like, oh, yeah, well, I got these here. But I knew about Gwen. I knew about Spider-Gwen, and I knew about the old Peter B. Parker.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems to be like Peter B. Parker is the Parker that we've kind of known more. Because it's strange, because Miles' universe doesn't have the same stuff that we have.
Yeah.
Right? It's like it does play into the universe changes. Doc Ock is a woman, and her arms work differently. It looks like a based on some sort of pressure system, not just metallic. It's not metallic at all.
Yeah.
Like things like that are just really nice touches.
They are.
The things that we supposedly know a lot about. So,
right.
I love that stuff. It's so good.
Yeah. Well, I like the casting for the people. So, Spider-Ham, which that's his name for the Peter Parker, is John Mulaney, which if you know anything about John Mulaney, he's just a funny guy. And he's a character, so it works great for him. Kimiko Glenn plays Penny Parker.
Yeah.
Who is just really, she's almost like the sidekick to Spider-Man because she's got a mech. And it's like almost like a diva kind of style thing there from Overwatch. And then Nicolas Cage plays Spider-Man Noir.
That's perfect.
Which fits perfectly.
Because that's casting in 1 year for Spider-Man Nicolas Cage.
When you hear the voice, right, you're like, that's not Nicolas Cage. Because Nicolas Cage has a voice, right? You know it right away. And then you're like, it's got to be Nicolas. This is amazing that it's Nicolas Cage. Yeah. Like, because you hear it the first time, you're like, no way.
He's colorblind and he likes Rubik's Cube.
Right, he's like, so wait, good. You guys don't see black and white? Like, wait, what? What do you mean? Like,
just punches Nazis all day.
Right, it's fucking hilarious. And it works phenomenal.
Yeah. And there's some really nice lessons going on here that helps Miles, because Miles hasn't gotten the tentpole lessons that a beginning Spider-Man needs in order to be the great, amazing Spider-Man.
Right.
And all these other guys have it. They have the big tragedy. They have the big lesson learned. They have the fearlessness of jumping into something without any nets.
They've had their ups and downs, right. and they're all in different stages. And that's what's really cool, is that even you can tell that all the Spider-Mans are in different stages of their Spider-Man life.
Yeah.
One is at its pinnacle. One is at its worst. You know, one's at its beginnings. A couple of them are just like in the middle ground. You know, they're not just starting off. They're not at their end. You know, or they're not at their peak. Mm-hmm. But they're obviously somewhere in between.
Yeah,
and it is really cool to see that. And especially, I just like how they're all different, but they all understand that they all have to come. They all had to learn about it. And it's really cool.
Yeah,
it's a really cool scene where. Or I guess Peter Parker, main guy, right, who comes in, who has to tell Miles, like, he's trying to tell him, like, you got to figure this out. I can only tell you what to do and stuff, like, to a certain extent. After that, like, it's got to be on you. Like, I can't help you.
Yeah. You know, can't teach instinct. You can't teach.
And everybody else is just like, yeah, let's like, not get in on it.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what has to happen, so.
Yeah. But they had some really cool fighting scenes. I love them discovering the invincibility thing. It was a lot of fun. A lot of comedy in there.
Yeah.
And really funny stuff. And then they have him figuring out the electricity thing. And the thing with the father was pretty touching. And discovering who the uncle was. All really nice. All sets up the tragedy that we all know well. But just a little different. It's an uncle this time. And it's, you know, the uncle being the bad guy who gets killed by Fisk. You know, who's going to be, I guess, Miles' Morales is now... bigger arch nemesis,
right.
Maybe, or has a personal touch to Fisk as opposed to before.
Right.
It could be a lot of things, and this is wonderful. And it's a whole can of worms. I love Spider-Gwen so much. She's probably my favorite.
Well, what works really well in this.
She's like the Life is Strange character of Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah. What works really well in this is that it's the passing of the torch for Spider-Man, mm-hmm. right? We just saw Spider-Man in his world
get killed,
right? Mm-hmm. And you're like, holy shit, like that's. That's huge because you're like...
That doesn't happen.
Right, that doesn't happen, exactly. And then to get him... he's supposed to have someone, like, pass the torch onto him, kind of like a Green Lantern-ish style or something, you know?
Yeah.
To combine universes and shit, but...
Yeah.
And he doesn't get it. And he has to get that through his thing. And it's cool that he gets it from, like, six different versions of him.
Yeah.
Which is really, that's what's really cool about the fact that he's like almost ultra special, I guess, if you look at it that way.
Yeah.
To defend his universe.
And I also really like how they also put in other villains in there too, like Scorpion's in there and stuff like that. And I think a version of Shocker that isn't Shocker's on there.
Yeah.
In the background, like Fisk's underlings or something. But besides that stuff, which is all comic book heavy, What do you think about the movie's subtle openings to potential sequels, or maybe even like a standalone versions of these parallel characters?
I thought it was brilliant. I thought
Spider-Gwen gets some of that because...
I thought that was cool. I thought they did a really heavy setup for Spider-Gwen.
Yeah.
Because...
Peter Parker died.
Yeah.
And that was her like thing going on.
Right, exactly. They did a really interesting thing with the Spider-Gwen because you're introducing this character who is like basically like in the comics is this standalone, like we just made it because it's this alternate reality kind of thing. And you're like, and in this one, it feels like
she's always been there, a part of it, I think.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I do like the fact that they do these touches in the movie that you can introduce these other versions of Spider-Man's and make their own, even short films. You can do a quick short film and obviously animate it.
I think of a bunch of them.
Yeah.
I think the Kamiko's Neo Tokyo Spider-Man, like she didn't kill her spider. Like her spider didn't bite her. She like fused mental states with it because it's a future. You can neurally transmit yourself. So that's how that works. So Spider-Man, the spider actually controls the robot who has like a personal deep connection psychologically and mentally with the girl.
Right, exactly.
And that's why it works differently. And she has her own thing where her mech dies that her father built, and that's what makes it personal. That mech is some, like the last thing that her father left for her, and it's destroyed now.
Right.
You know, and so she has her own thing, and then you think of the noir, like figuring out something beyond just feeling completely bitter and emotionless to deal with the suffering of humanity's place.
Yeah.
And has a Rubik's Cube. I don't know. It just feels like it could be a very interesting shorts or something. I don't know. That would be awesome if I saw them. The point is that I was like you, what you said earlier, is that I wanted to rewatch this movie as soon as I finished it.
Yeah.
So, because these characters, you know, they're so good.
Yeah. I don't think all of them can have their own standalone film.
No.
But short film, yes. Reintroductions or seen in a different movie again. Yeah. Partnering up or something like that. Yeah, totally. I mean,
you know, they should do what Pixar does, and you know how Pixar has a short film before every movie? Just do that.
I mean, I can see a funny one with Spider-Pig, so.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, it's you could make one for each one of these characters, either like a follow-up, or it doesn't have to be specific to any to the plot or anything. Just make up a short story with Spider-Noir, you know. That's it. Just make one, you know. And then put it, you know, 5 minutes before the next Marvel, Captain Marvel movie, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So. And yeah, I think that'd be cool. That could be a cool idea. So, one last thing is that that lends to that idea of a potential other movies is that it ends with that slight touch of someone, I don't know who it was. It was very subtle, where like you get a touch of someone from some parallel universe gets in contact with Miles again at the end.
Yeah.
So that gives you like a little idea.
That's another cool thing about you could do it in their world as well. Yes. And you could do it where even if you stick with Miles Morales as your main character and he helps out in different worlds, you can do so much. It's just by opening this little can of worm, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
I've also always liked the fact that Spider-Man might be the only superhero that does both street level fighting and like universal, colossal, like world ending.
Right.
Like he's multifaceted.
He is. Yeah.
Because usually one or the other.
And I think you that's why. Them. And I hate to come to, what's it called? The actual cinematic universe for Marvel,
yeah.
Spider-Man. I think that's why Spider-Man, that one, works really well. And we saw that in Infinity War.
Yeah.
Which is, what's it called? He works on both levels. And I think for that Spider-Man, they actually made it work where it's...
It may work because he's using Stark's suit, too.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, it works because you obviously know that he can do things on his level. He's doing his own Spider-Man, spider stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay... Like, kid, when I need you, like, I know how to help you, so I'm just going to throw shit at you, right? Mm-hmm. And it works great because he knows he can be useful in a big thing.
Yes. He just, like, gets dragged into, like, in Infinity War, he just gets dragged into space. Like, he was too far up, like, I'm not going to not fight now. Like, right. He just puts himself in the situation. Yeah. So, do you have anything else on Spider-Verse?
No, man. I really like the... I don't know. Like I said, I love the music that fits really good with the movie. I do want to listen to the album, the soundtrack, should I say, on my phone. And then I'll see how that goes, if it still fits without the, what's it called, without the movie in it.
Yeah.
But I think it will. I think some of it will.
I love Aunt May's underground thing.
Oh, dude, that was great. That was phenomenal. Yeah.
I mean, clearly Miles is going to use that place. Probably going to become friends. But I assume so anyway.
Yeah, that's what it looks like, yeah.
And I love his suit. I love his space painting. Like, they all have their own like hobbies.
Yeah.
They all have different hobbies. I love it. Anyway, great movie. We'll catch you next month, guys, for the next bonus. Until then, I'm Oscar.
Yeah, I'm Ralph.
Later.
Mr. Daniel? I'm finished.